Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, today we are going to be in the book, primarily in the book of Acts. We're going to look at a couple of the passages, but we're doing a series on the power of vision. So 2 weeks ago, this message was supposed to be last week, but because some of you chose to stay home, I figured it would be best if we saved it for this week. So maybe God has a reason and a purpose for that. But 2 weeks ago then, we talked about mission. And mission is different from vision. Mission is kind of what God is, more general, what God has called each of us to do. So we looked at that, what God has called each of us to do, that God has a divine plan for our life. We're to live each day as an offering to Him, and that He also has a specific vision for our life. So we looked a little bit at Jeremiah at the end there and just the vision that God gave to him. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision or prophetic vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." And so you'll hear that verse used a lot. Without vision, people perish. You'll hear that a lot, right? And what it really points to, without this divine vision of God speaking into the lives of people, of how they are to live their life, God's direction for their life, people tend to wander off and do things that they're not supposed to. They're aimless, which leads to destruction. Okay, do we see that in our world today? Absolutely. And one of the things that you're going to catch is that from a secular point of view, vision usually comes from where? Where? Maybe work, but it usually comes from here. Or you brainstorm, you think about, hey, this is what we're going to do, a vision for a company, or this is what I want to do with my life. But vision, when you look at from a biblical perspective, comes from God. And we're going to see that as we go and look at Scripture. Whenever vision is referred to, it has come through a divine source where God speaks into the lives of people. And I think even in the life of Paul, Paul had his own direction and God changed it. So we're going to look a little more at that. Vision is a clear, exciting picture of the future that God uses to motivate us to accomplish God's mission in life. So that is where vision is a little bit different. It's more concise. And it has that inspiring aspect of it, so it propels us to accomplish the mission that God has given to us. All right? My mission statement is to glorify God by equipping people for life, leadership, and ministry. I think I kind of worked on that about 12 years ago. Bill Bright, where's Melissa? So his vision statement used to be to win this world to Christ in this generation. So has that ever come up? So it's changed now, okay? And I quizzed her this morning, and it took her a while, but she remembered what it was. So, Crew is Campus Crusade for Christ on the college campuses. So the title of the message this morning is Kazon. Can you say Kazon? Kazon. All right. So now you know Hebrew, okay? I threw Jill this week because she saw the service order, and she thought, what's this about? So she found out, she Googled it and found out it was Hebrew for vision. So as you look at vision in the Old Testament, this word, this Hebrew root kazon, comes up. All right, Craig Groeschel with Life Church has a book written on it. And so I want us to look at four different things that vision does for our life. And so those are in your program there. We'll follow them. And I'm going to illustrate them through the life of Paul, these four different things. First of all, kazon, or vision, brings focus to our life. It brings focus to our life. It kind of narrows down, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, leadership classes and organizational classes that I've taken says, typically, you shouldn't have trouble finding stuff to do in your life, okay? I don't have a problem of staying busy, okay? The key is, am I staying busy with the right things? The things that are accomplishing what I should be doing, okay? And I think that is always the question. It's not so much are we staying busy, but are we staying busy with the right things? Are we staying busy on the things that are fulfilling our vision and our purpose? When God gives us a clear sense of what we are to do with our life, a vision, it helps to focus our attention, our energies, our talents, our finances, all that we have, it helps us to focus it in that one direction. Other people may have plans for your life. You ever had that happen? Parents, friends, loved ones, or maybe a significant other. They have your life all planned out for you. But what does God have to say about your life? Having a clear and focused vision will allow you to say no to good things so that you can have God's best things. Did you know sometimes you say no to good things so that you can have God's best? I mean, we sometimes think we say no to bad things, but there's sometimes, even when the good things come along, that we say no to so that we can have God's best. All right? On Paul's second missionary journey, it's found in Acts chapter 16, if you want to turn into your copy of God's Word. Paul's on his second missionary journey. He goes on three of them that you find in the book of Acts after God calls him, and we'll get caught up to that part. But Paul was a Jewish leader. He was very zealous. He was very driven, but he was going in the wrong direction. God gets a hold of his life. Eventually, he ends up going on what we call these missionary journeys. He goes into parts of Asia and the Mediterranean that had not had the gospel taken to them, especially the Gentile population, but even the Jewish population. And so he goes on these trips, and he begins going from town to town sharing Christ with people, okay? Missionary journey, okay? And so he is wanting to go north. He has his own idea, hey, this is where I'm going to go, and God says, no. And so I think Paul's saying, no, what do I do now? So let's pick up that story, Acts 16, 6 through 10. And it says that they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. We'll have a quiz on those later. And having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, so God says, no, I don't want you to go up into this other part of Asia. And when they had come to my Asia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And so passing by my Asia, they went down to Troas. So God is directing them by closing doors. And sometimes we don't like it when God closes a door, puts a roadblock, right? God, I'm going this way. And God says, no, you're not. We're going to go this way. And so he ends up in a place called Troas. It's along the Mediterranean Sea. And that night, a vision appeared to Paul. A vision, okay? That's what we're talking about, Kazon. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man from Macedonia, so just across the Mediterranean Sea, standing there, and he was urging, beckoning them, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia. They bought their ticket to a ship to go to Macedonia, and concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. And one of the first places they end up is in Philippi. So we're going to talk more about Philippi. But Philippi, the first convert would be Lydia, a lady, a wealthy lady that made purple cloth. She would be one of the first converts. They would stay in her home. And the church in Philippi would be instrumental in Paul's missionary journeys and the end of his ministry. They would be there to pray for him. They would help him out financially. They would provide for him when he was in prison. They were instrumental in his whole journey as he shared the gospel with those that God was calling him to do. But in this case, Paul was, he was doing what God had called him to do, to be a light to the Gentiles, right? And so he tries going there, and God says, nope. He tries going here, and God says, nope. And finally, God says, here, this is where I want you to go. Vision focuses our time, our energy, and talent to where God wants us to be. And that's what vision did for Paul. And vision didn't come from up here, or a brainstorming session, but vision came from God as God spoke to Paul and says, hey, this is where I want you to go. Can God still speak to us today? Yes, no, maybe? Yeah. Paul says through the prophet Joel, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit, right? And he says, I'm going to cause you to prophesy dreams and visions. He will direct us. So, kazon, vision provides focus. Secondly, it develops our endurance. Develops our endurance. I don't know if you're wimpy or if you have endurance, all right? None of us wants to be wimpy. I don't know, there was that one commercial that was like, wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. What commercial was that? Hefty, hefty, yes. Are you a hefty bag or are you wimpy, wimpy, wimpy? I think they just came out with some new commercials too, didn't they? And the grandma, she has the cart, right? And she kind of pushes over that guy, right? Yeah. Kazon creates endurance. And that's true because when we have a focus where we know where we're going, we're going to endure obstacles and hurdles. And I can guarantee you, if you have any sorts of direction or vision in your life, there will be obstacles along the way. And you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. But you have to have a vision. Now, there was an inauguration on Friday. This is the first inauguration that I've ever watched, okay? I've seen highlights. But it's the first one. How many was the first one you ever watched? Yeah, interesting. First one I ever watched. But whether you like Trump or not, I believe he had a sense of vision and purpose because nobody thought he was going to win. Everybody else, nobody gave him a shot. But he had that vision and direction and endurance. Most people would have given up, quite honestly. Whether you like him or not, they would have given up. But he knew what he wanted to accomplish, make America great again. That was his vision, folks. And he stuck by it, and people came along. And I think even people came along that necessarily don't like him as a person, but they liked his vision, if we're going to be honest. Vision allows us to develop endurance. Paul, Acts chapter 26 now. Go ahead a few chapters. Paul had a lot of, if you read through the book of Acts and his missionary journeys, you're going to find out he had his share of obstacles. And he was doing God's will. Did you realize that if you do God's will, that doesn't mean you're not going to have obstacles and hurdles? He was stoned and left for dead. Most of us would say, hey, God, you must not be calling me to be a missionary, right? I must be on the wrong path. This is definitely a sign that I'm doing the wrong thing, right? But he was stoned and left for dead. You read some of Paul's accounts, I wonder if he didn't even have a near-death experience there because he talks about that he saw paradise. He experienced it. Okay, he had those near-death experiences that people talk about. I believe he had one of those. I think he was up there looking down. And God brought him back and said, it's not your time. He was bit by a snake. They thought he was cursed because he was bit by the snake and says, you escaped justice, but now the gods have caught up with you. And then when he didn't die, then they said he must be a god. And they did a bunch of healings. People were led to Christ. He was shipwrecked. He was run out of town I don't know how many times. He had his share of obstacles, but his vision gave him the endurance he needed. And in Acts chapter 26, 19 through 20, he has been arrested and he's on his way to Rome. He's said, I'm appealing to Rome to be on trial there because I'm not going to get a fair trial in Jerusalem. And so he's on his way to there. King Agrippa's in town, says, I want to hear this case of Paul. And so Paul stands up before King Agrippa. And this is what he says to him. He says, I was not obedient to the heavenly vision, but declared it first to those in Damascus, Jerusalem, throughout the region of Judea, to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. Paul says, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. And I have a feeling there was a lot of times Paul says, you know what, I want to quit, I want to give up. But it was the sense that God had given him a vision of something he needed to accomplish. And that allowed him to plow through all the obstacles and hurdles that came his way. Kazon provides focus, it provides endurance. Thirdly, it fosters peace. It fosters peace. You know, when you don't have a sense of vision, can be anxious. You're just kind of floating, right? You don't know where you're going. You feel unsettled. How do you measure success when you don't have any barometer, when you don't have any way to measure? How do you know if you are doing the right thing? How do you measure fulfillment? You're drifting. And you wonder what God has you on this earth for. Kazon brings a sense of peace because we know our place and what God has called us to do. And you look through Scripture and you can say, you know what? I would not want the life of Jeremiah that we talked about 2 weeks ago. He was a prophet, and because of that, people, they threw him in a slimy pit. They put him in stocks, and people, you know, made fun of him and threw rotten tomatoes at him. And he preached the message that God gave him, and people made fun of him. They ignored his message. And yet God had a purpose. He was right where God wanted him. Paul, Peter, you go down the list. When you have that sense of vision that you are right where God wants you, whether things are good or not good, you're going to have a sense that I'm right where God wants me to be. I want us to look at Philippians chapter 4. Okay, so this is the church that Paul starts after this vision to go to Macedonia. And he's writing to the Philippians, and he has a good first day because Lydia and the people with Lydia come to know Christ and they're converted. But then as he ministers in Philippi, there's this woman that's possessed by an evil spirit, and she's a servant, she's a slave, and her owners use her to tell the future, okay? And she falls around and is kind of a nuisance, and Paul recognizes that she has an evil spirit. They pray for her, the evil spirit leaves, but no longer is she able to tell the future. And so her owners are kind of upset because their livelihood is gone. So they get the crowd worked up. Paul and Silas are thrown in prison, and that's where they are. It says that they were worshiping and praising God in prison. But then God sent an earthquake. The jailer gets saved, gets baptized, him and his whole family. It's a pretty incredible story. But you have to know that you have that sense of vision because you can't go by the circumstances that are happening around you. You have to know that you are where God wants you. This is what Paul says in Philippians. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now put that against the backdrop of Philippians and his experience there, being in prison and all that. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone that the Lord is at hand. He's near. Do not be anxious about anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, or prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, if we are anxious, if we are feeling uneasy, God gives us a plan to deal with that. And it says that when we make these things known to God, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will what? Guard our hearts and our minds. Where does anxiety attack us? Our hearts and our minds, right? Hearts and minds. There we go. We get it right. Right? It attacks us in those places, and what the peace of God will do, it surrounds those areas that we face attack. Verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, what is ever lovely, commendable, excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. Boy, sometimes we think about totally opposite things, don't we? What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You indeed are concerned with me, but you've had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in every situation to be what? To be what? Content. And every situation, in prison, and he even says, you know what? I know what it is to be brought low, to be humbled, to be without. And I know what it is to abound, to have plenty. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I've learned to be content. Wow. Verse 13. We hear this verse a lot, but this is the context. He says that I can do all things through him who gives me what? Strength. That's the context of that verse. Contentment. Oh yeah, it's easy to be content when we have food in the cupboards, money in the bank. But you know, that doesn't always bring contentment, folks. You look at Hollywood, some of the actors and people that have money are the most uneasy, unhappy people in the world. That's why they turn to drugs and alcohol and some of the lifestyles that they do. Because there's no peace. Kazon brings focus, it brings endurance, it brings peace. Lastly, we learn from the life of Paul that Kazon cultivates passion. And that's where vision is so important, because it ignites our heart. You can have a mission, and we can have a mission statement in our program here, right? And we're going to be working a little more on a vision statement. But we can have a mission statement. Radiant Springs Church is a caring community that exists to glorify God and edify individuals and families with the life-changing principles from God's Word, equipping them for life and ministry. So that's good. I think that's a good mission statement, but it's not really a vision statement that kind of ignites passion, inspiration, says, wow, we need to do that. So we're going to be working on that. But what is God's vision for your life? It has to engage your heart and propel you, because it helps you accomplish God's vision, his mission for your life. It motivates you. When you're tired, when you're distracted, when you're tempted, vision keeps our energy focused on the right things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, also written by Paul, verses 14 through 15, Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us." That word compels, a very strong word. It means, really, we have other options, but because we are so compelled, there is only one choice. There's only one option. Because Christ's love compels us, we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And that we should no longer live for ourselves, but we live to do what God has called us to do, is what he's saying. And he says, you know, why do we do what we do? It's because Christ's love compels us. It is the vision of God had so embraced and wrapped itself around Paul's heart that he only had one choice, but to do the will of God and complete God's vision. Kazon will bring focus, it'll bring endurance, it'll bring peace, and it'll bring passion. And we need to get ready for the video here. But I'm going to read a few things here just so that you're ready. Barna has a book, George Barna, Turning Vision into Action. And I like some of these quotes. He says, "What is your life like if you don't have vision?" Okay? You're like a cow loose in a pasture just grazing, right? Just grazing aimlessly, right? You're like a glacier, fascinating to observe, but going nowhere fast. All right? You're like a snake, ill-focused, spineless, and attracted to whatever's hot. There's a lot of churches like that. You're like a rabbit, warm and fuzzy, but utterly defenseless. You're like a movie set. You're merely a facade. You're like a flashlight without batteries, willing but powerless, right? You're a wedding without a bride. You're missing an essential element. Is Tessa here? She's in the nursery. Melissa's here. She's worked with cadavers. You're like a cadaver, stiff, predictable, and lacking a discernible heartbeat. For some of our older saints, it's like Fred without Ginger, Ozzy without Harriet. You're incomplete. You're like a car without gasoline, capable of moving forward, but lacking the necessary fuel. And for our musicians, you're like a symphony without a score. Lots of talent, but no direction. Vision. I want to close with a couple of videos that look at the life of Peter. The Son of God movie series was on TV, and they recapture a couple moments in Peter's life. Peter was a fisherman when God called him, Peter, James, and John. They were fishermen, and Jesus says, come and follow me, right? And so I want to, the Son of God movie series does that, and I want us to, Peter would go on for that moment and follow Jesus for 3.5 years and be a disciple of Jesus. And then Jesus would be crucified, right? And you would have the resurrection of Jesus. He'd be ascended into heaven. You have the day of Pentecost. And who gets up and speaks to the crowd? Peter. 3,000 are saved. The church continues to grow. It was Peter that God would use to speak to the crowd. And then persecution breaks out in the church in Jerusalem. The church is scattered. Peter finds himself one day on a rooftop. He's hungry. He can smell the food cooking. His stomach is growling. And as he's sitting there on that rooftop, he kind of drifts off, and he has a vision. Acts chapter 10. He has a vision. And the vision is of a sheet. It's let down. And it has all these unclean animals in it. Pigs. Other things that are considered not kosher for a Jewish person, and according to Old Testament standards. And the voice says, get up and eat, Peter. And Peter says, no way, I'm a good Jew. This happens 3 times. And Peter's thinking, man, I must have really ate something bad or something. And all of a sudden they hear a knock at the door, and some Roman soldiers are at the house door. And the voice says to him, go with these men. Now just think about that. Who crucified Christ? The Romans. Yeah. But Peter comes down. I'm assuming they had their meal with these other men, and they begin their journey to go to a man's house whose name was Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion who was a God-fearer. He was seeking after God, but they didn't know all the details, and he wanted to know more. And so God spoke to him and says, I want you to send for Peter, and he will tell you the way to be saved. And so he sends his soldiers, and they get Peter, and they bring him to Cornelius' house. And this next video captures the moment as they believe in Christ and are baptized, and he sees the fulfillment of what Christ had said. That vision at times got a little blurry for Peter. There's times he messed up, denied Christ 3 times, right? There's one time he got commended because he says, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then just in that same passage, he's told, get behind me, Satan. Lifted up, and then he was tore down. After the crucifixion of Jesus, and after denying Christ 3 times, Peter kind of lost that sense of vision because he was pretty hard on himself. And guess what he went back to doing? Fishing. John chapter 20. He's back out in that same boat, catching nothing. Jesus says, try the other side. Tried the other side, brought in a bunch of fish, and he meets him on the shore, and it is there he reinstates Peter, and he says, I want you to feed my sheep. My vision is still there of what God had called him to do. You know, Peter is also the one that Jesus comes across to them walking on the water, right? Peter gets out of the boat and meets Jesus, and he began to sink after a while, but at least he's willing to get out of the boat. Everybody else stayed in the boat. But he had the faith to take those steps. And that's true with our life, that God calls us. You look at all the people in Scripture that God gave this vision, and I think there was a lot of fear. There's a lot of unknown, saying, God, what are you calling me to do? And I don't think it's any different for us. Maybe some of the things that God has shared with you, you're thinking, how in the world can it happen financially? Or How in the world can it happen? God, this is just me. I don't have that talent. I don't have those abilities. God, you can never you work through me or use me. I'm just me. But see, a lot of times it's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon God's vision that he wants to implement through our lives. What is God calling you to do? I can't answer that question. I can't guide you in that way. But he can. See, vision comes from him. And as we hear his voice and his direction, he's able to guide and direct the course of our life. For some of us, it might be ministry, whether it's part-time or just using our gifts. I believe God calls everybody to use their gifts within the church. But how he leads and directs you, that's God's. That's God's doing. And we just simply get out of the boat and follow him. Amen? I'm going to have you stand. We're going to close with that song, Oceans, but I would like to lead us in a prayer just of consecration this morning. Father, this morning we just come to you. We're Peter's, we're Paul's, we're Philip's, we're Matthew's. We're just normal people. That's what they were. They were normal people, and you said, come and follow me. And still today you say, come and follow you. To hear your voice. And to have a sense of vision of what you've called us to do, Father. And this morning my prayer is just simple, that God, that you would come by your Holy Spirit and begin to share your vision. Help us to discover what that is, Father. I don't believe it is intended to be a secret. I don't think it's intended to be a mystery. I think it is something that you want to reveal to us piece by piece as we seek your face, as we study your word, as we come before you in prayer. I believe your plan and your purpose is to reveal your vision in our lives. And so, Father, I just pray, that's my prayer this morning, God, that by your Spirit you would speak to your people this morning in a divine way. Whether it is here this morning, whether it's on our bed at night, you wake us up in the middle of the night, whether it's in a time of prayer, that you would just hover over us by your Spirit and speak your vision into our lives. Provide that focus, that direction that we need. We give you the thanks and the praise this morning. They're going to lead us in this chorus, and Victor and Yolanda are going to join us up front, and Gary and Mary. And would you just make an altar where you're at? I don't know if you want to kneel, stand, raise your hands, but would you just surrender your life this morning and say, God, I believe if you just say, God, I want to know your direction. I want to know your vision. I'm tired of drifting, and I want to know your direction for my life. I believe that God will meet you right where you're at this morning if you step out of that boat.